John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. May God in grace write this.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us to come to the ministry of our pulpit to bring you the gospel. John 14 verse 6 is our text, and this is one of the greatest texts. It is monumental. It is Mount Everest in the Bible because it points directly to the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so on the basis of this text and such a doctrine that is permeated right throughout the Bible, we clearly state that Jesus is the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Mediator that we may find the Father. And so all those religionists who look to other objects, saints, priests, churches, good works, every other way of salvation to reach the Father, Jesus condemns them. He just knocks them out of the way and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And every Bible gospel church preaches this unapologetically, because this is the gospel. And woe unto me if I dare come preaching any other gospel than this gospel unto you. That's what we find in Galatians chapter 1. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Cursed is the man that preaches any other gospel. And so in truth and faithfulness, I bring to you this text from the pulpit of our church. Jesus is the way.
If you turn with me to Ephesians 4, you will see the awful damage that sin has done in the hearts and minds of men. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And so when you see the university professor, the PhD, that is not a Christian, following the darkness of his own mind, you can realize that he is lost. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so reason to these people is no longer sufficient. You can set before them the facts, the evidence, but their mind is darkened. They cannot interpret the facts. And that natural revelation is insufficient to convince them. And so God has given us the Bible. And in this word, we have the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is the written word. But also, God has given us his Son, who is the living word. And Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Now, Jesus could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And if you look at verse 7 here, you'll see that's exactly what he said to Philip. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Here God sent his Son to be the express image of the Father, that you and I would know him and know God and know truth. That is the wonder of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I have a little short quote here by Arthur W. Pink. I hope it helps you. The true knowledge of God cannot be obtained but by the true knowledge of the Son. And if the Son be really known, then the Father will also be known. The Father is known just so far as the Son is known, no farther. And so I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ if you are to know the Father. You must come to know him, not only with historical knowledge, but with the eye of faith. You must be able to embrace him as the living revelation of the Father to your soul, that you might be saved to know the truth as it is in God. Now all of this adds up because Jesus said in John 8:12 that he was the light of the world. What a great truth. He truly is the light of the world. And what a gift this truth is from God in the person of Christ. What a gift is our Lord Jesus. Now, as a Christian, every day of your life you will say, Father, thank you for giving me your Son. Every day. In fact, that's how we ought to pray. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and we thank the Father for revealing himself through his Son. Are you doing that? Is that a summary of your Christian life? Or are you just sitting on the fringe somewhere, an observer of these things? You are impressed to some degree. You would even stand up for John 14:6 and say, that is the word of God. But if it has not brought you to your knees to say, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, that I may know the true and living God, then you're not a Christian. You're not saved. All of this is just over the head or a little surface in your mind, but really you're walking without the light of the Son in your life. And so therefore I must introduce you to the Lord Jesus. I must beg you to come and know him. Accept him as your Savior. I do so now. Accept him. I would say, at after this meeting, would you please come and talk to me and let me introduce you to the Son of God, because you'll never be right with God. You will never know God unless you know the Son. Now, the third great statement here is, I am the life. And you can see where I got my outline from today. It's very simple. Jesus said three things, and these are my 3 points. He's the way, he's the truth, and he says, I am the life. And this text addresses the sentence of death between man and God. He is the life, and that life addresses the curse of sin. What are the wages of sin? Death. Adam and Eve found that out in the garden. The moment that they sinned, they were driven out, they were separated from God, but something else died within them. Something died in their hearts. Love for God died. Faith died. The delight in God died. The moment they sinned, they became fugitives. They ran and hid from God. They wanted to cover themselves from their nakedness. Something died within them. Their innocence died. Shame filled their hearts. Their conscience was no longer clear, but rasping with all the very power of death. Now, this week we're all asking, where do viruses come from? Modern anthropologists have great tools to search the earth for dead things. And one thing that they're finding in the tundra, when they bore down into the ice, they can find viruses that are buried and frozen. But one of the fears is that as they are brought to the surface, or as some people say, due to global warming, that the ice melts and the viruses now are exposed, and we're all facing things that the world, well, at some point did have, but for a period of time have not had. But what is a virus? It is the death sentence. It really is a part of the curse. And all over this world, there is death. If you're a creationist, you know that the oil, the fossil fuels of this world are produced out of dead things. Dead trees, dead plants, dead animals, all those things that were buried in Noah's flood that produced coal, oil, gas. This world is a testimony of death. And of course, the human race is dying. Every one of us is under the sentence of death. The death sentence is even in us. Now, Adam turned from being God-centered to self-centered. He died toward God, but he came alive toward self and to his own pride. And there lies spiritual death. To love self, pleasure and worldly things above God, is to be spiritually dead. And I might be describing you today, that when it comes to the things of vice and pleasure and even questionable things in this world, you get all excited about them. But when it comes to knowing God, there's a deadness in your soul. And of course, if money is your God, what a testimony that is. You put your trust in money rather than in the living God. When the prodigal son returned home, his father said, "This my son was dead, but is alive again." What a wonderful thing. He who had rebelled, went into the far country, wasted his living, had been there to feed the pigs out of want and penury, came to himself, returned to his father's home. He was brought from death to life in the sense that he knew where to go, and he was given the grace to do it. Now, Christ came to give dead souls spiritual life. Dead souls need to be quickened. They need to be given new life. It's like the power lines being cut That's the state of the wicked, the ungodly. But when the hydro arrives and they put the power on again, they join those lines and the power comes on, then they're hooked up. Now, you need that new life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can give people a Bible, but they will still be dead. You can give people a theology book, but they will still be dead. You can preach to them, but they'll remain dead. Only Christ can give life to a dead soul. Jesus said, I am the life. That's the wonder of the gospel and the good news, that when you receive the Lord into your heart, that you are born again, you're given that new life from above, a new nature. Now, I can't stop without preaching the fourth part of this text. You thought it was a three-part sermon. Well, actually, if you read verse 6, there's another little statement in it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this text addresses the deception about other mediators between God and men. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if I was an insurance man, I would say this is the cover-all statement. You know, the little fine print that the insurance writers put in the back page? Here is the cover-all statement. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And nothing gets missed with that one. No man, no individual, man, woman, boy, girl, of any period of time or any nation of the world will ever enter into heaven. Jesus is the only way. And the greatest deception in religious circles is to present many mediators. Mary, saints, ancestors, dead people that are now somehow representing them before God. It's all a myth. It's a big lie. And I'll tell you another big lie, that you need Jesus as your mediator plus someone else. That's the subtle one. Oh yes, you need Jesus, but you also need the church. You also need the apostle or the saints or some other mediator between you and men. Well, I leave you to work out the math. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's just one. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Could any language be more clear? If God wanted to say that there's only one way for you to be saved, could he have put it any clearer? What does God need to say in his word to get the truth home right to your heart? By this text alone, you can settle your eternal destiny. Isn't this simplicity? If you never had the whole Bible and you just had John 14:6, you could settle your whole eternal destiny right now. You don't have to go to a catechism class. You don't have to go to a Bible school or any other learning. This is it. This is the full gospel right here. And by this text alone, do you not see that you must be a Christian? There's no other way. You must be a Christian. You need the person, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. That's it. Let that sink in. And by this text alone, you must be a Protestant. That's a shocker, isn't it? I want to close with a shocker. The Protestant doctrine of the gospel is the right doctrine. We protest anyone who denies Jesus is the only way. We protest other mediators as the way. That's what Protestants do. That's why we keep the word Protestant in our language to define who we are. Now, I'll accept the term Christian, but when you want to know what I believe, I'm a Protestant. I'm a Protestant. Now, I'll not go so far to say that you must be a Free Presbyterian to get into heaven. I don't say that. But you do need the Protestant perspective perspective of the gospel, that there is one mediator between God and man, that we, you know, the five solas, that we are saved by faith alone, Christ alone. We have the Bible alone as our authority, and it is for God's glory alone, and it's grace alone. There's the five of them. That's the Protestant perspective of the gospel. And that is the gospel that saves. Don't accept anything else. And so this text, John 14:6, beautifully simple, I trust well known, can be your gateway to glory. Will you come? Boys and girls, let me speak to you. You're here today. I love to preach to boys and girls. Do you have the Lord in your heart? Have you invited Him to be your personal Savior? Your mom and dad can't get you into heaven. They might pay your way into Disney. They might pay your way into some other place of excitement, but they won't get you into heaven. You must call on the Lord Jesus personally to save your soul. Will you do that? Talk to your mom and dad today. Tell them, I heard that I needed to be saved. What do I do? How do I pray? Show me where John 14:6 is in the Bible. Make that the bedrock of your faith, and you will be saved.
Depths of all the mighty oceans, we may tell the distance to the farthest star, but the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree He died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold His love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by His wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank Him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at His feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree He died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And I hope that you have been challenged today through this message on John 14, verse 6. I would recommend highly that you memorize that verse. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. And if you are in need of help, feel free to call me. All the details are coming up in a moment on how you may reach me by phone or by email. And I will gladly send you this little booklet, A New Beginning. And I'm looking at page 14 here, the section on assurance of salvation. And there are a number of Bible verses listed, and the acknowledgement that to some Christians, assurance can be a problem. But salvation comes not by our own efforts, but by resting, trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And his promises are absolutely sure and certain. And it is vital that every believer gets their faith truly rooted in the written word of God. And by that means, you can be sure that you have eternal life. Now, perhaps you are listening in and you know your need of salvation. Would you pray with me now that the Lord would save your soul? Let's unite together in prayer. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful, simple, plain salvation. One Savior, one faith, one gospel, one church. And I pray that today that you will lead each hearer to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be given faith and repentance to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, today, Lord, call sinners to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear your word, and to trust in thee alone for the gift of eternal life. This we earnestly pray and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. So again, thank you for joining with us today in the program. May the Lord bless you richly and join us each day at this time as we let the Bible speak. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.